Pooja. Good afternoon and welcome back to the College 2 Corporate. Our tagline, Corporate Insights Unplugged Podcast Season 3 and Episode 1, where we dive into the world of finance, business and professional development with industry leaders and experts. I'm your host, Anushka Raj, and today we have a very special guest with us. He has a wealth of experience in finance services and an expressive track record in training and development. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Hardik Pitwa, the Associate Vice President at Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. So, thank you for your sparing some time from your busy schedule to interact with us. And I Corporate Connect Club from IBS Mumbai.
Thank you. Thank you, Anushka, for your time and efforts for doing this. I think it's a good thing that you are doing because during college, industry experts like me and someone else you would have interviewed would have added a lot of practical ideas and application that is helpful to the college grads. Thank you for this.
So it's our pleasure to have you on our show. And how was your day today?
Sorry, I missed it.
Like, I'm saying, how are you today?
Oh, okay. Great, great. I mean, I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we are also very good. So shall we proceed with the questions?
Sure.
So the question goes like, tell us about your career journey at Motilal Oswal.
Sure. So I joined Motilal Oswal in 2015 June. It was one of my luckiest phase because the moment I joined in June, after a week, I delivered a baby. So, I mean, it is one of the most auspicious moment for me because I became a parent and I joined Motilal Oswal. So when I joined, when I went for an interview with Motilal, you know, they have a huge, or rather we have a huge sky lounge on our 8th floor. And the capacity of it is around 2,000 people at one time. So I was sitting there for an interview. I was waiting for my interviewer to come and, you know, kind of collect me and speak. So at that point of time, the infrastructure was so amazing and it is still very amazing. And I realized that this is something where I want to work because of the grandeur of the organization. Obviously, when the promoters are so involved in the grandeur, the kind of work ethics, the culture will be completely different. So 2015, I joined as a training coordinator. From 2015 to 2017 to or 19 odd, I was involved more in understanding the business because wealth is something that was completely new for me at that point of time. And I understood the business. I understood the way of operating. What are the goals of the organization? What is expectations from a training team to, you know, deliver? How do you upscale the wealth managers? And luckily for me, I got tremendous support from the senior leaders because in Motilal Oswal, you know, learning is something which comes from the seniors, right from Mr. Motilal Oswal to Mr. Ramdev Agarwal is our promoters. They are very serious and dead serious about learning. So, you know, for me, it was not challenging to push trainings, but it was more, you know, challenging was to bring innovation and bring, you know, need-based trainings to the relationship managers. So 2015 to 2017 was more about understanding everything. Then from 2020, when COVID hit and we were back to our home, work from home started. And that point of time, you know, everything moved digital. And one of the challenges that we had as an organization was to develop digital content. And something clicked in me. And I started developing digital content. And that was a turning point for my career because I also didn't knew that I had such capabilities in, you know, in creating content and developing content. And it was actually my passion. I used to write a lot during my childhood days, but a little did I know that, you know, something like this would come in my professional life also. And this was identified by my immediate supervisor. And he was the one who told me that, you know, take up this challenge because your writing skills are good. Maybe you will be able to develop content. And, you know, it gave me personal satisfaction that content development is something which I liked, and clients were appreciative about it. The senior leaders were happy about it. And from there, my journey started moving upwards. I had the upward trajectory of my journey. I moved to several other, I took more responsibilities in terms of helping the relationship managers, acquiring clients, developing content for them. So I started my journey as a coordinator in 2015. And today I'm a contributor to the business P&L by, you know, helping the relationship managers bring more clients by some strategies, client acquisition strategies, as well as sales training intervention. And most of my career, I think, in Motilal Oswal is because of the trust I would say trust and belief that my immediate supervisor had shown on me. And he gave me projects which I never knew I had capabilities of. So I think I am owe to him. My 9 years is something which I owe to him.
Amazing, amazing. So the next question is, describe a challenging training experience you faced and it's how you overcome it.
So, in terms of training challenges in Motilal Oswal, well, as I said, trainings is something which comes from the seniors. So there was no chance for me to face any challenges. But most common challenge that we face is currently also we face is since we have built so much content in last 8 to 9 years of my experience in Motilal, there is so much content available on internet. There is so much content available on using ChatGPT or, you know, and relationship managers and employees get so much information overload with Instagram, with LinkedIn. You know, for us, it was important that the content that is delivered to them is relevant and important, you know, and it goes to the right medium. So this was one of the challenges that we faced, that how do we actually deploy that content and how do we make them relevant and innovative? So we used several methods, like we used our own learning management system. We used WhatsApp as a medium to, you know, promote the training content. We used gamification. We are still in process of developing some games in terms of, content. We did, interviews. We did hot seat. Hot seat is something which we are currently doing, wherein we take Vivas, we take huddles. So we are trying and, you know, devising several innovative methods to, you know, ensure that whatever training content is developed since last 8 to 9 years is given to all the employees.
Okay, nice. We have also get to know that you are an AI lover. So as an AI lover, how do you apply AI tools and techniques to your present role?
Sure. So AI is something which I'm sure you would also know that it has developed recently, last 1 or 2 years. It has become like talk of the town. Everybody talks about ChatGPT. Everybody talks about cloud or Gemini AI. So I was also one of them to start talking about it, exploring it. So content development, as I said, was always my natural inclination and natural choice. So I used it, to develop one of my content, training content. I was just trying it. And I think it helped me, you know, reduce my turnover time of delivering the content. I think initially I used to take around 15 days to prepare entire content of any particular module or any particular training. But now it has reduced to, you know, 1 to 3 days because of the help of, AI. So one aspect that AI has helped is obviously content development. Second is, since I belong to, you know, wealth management firm, and most of my stakeholders are wealth managers. And as I said, I help them, I support them in all the client acquisition efforts. So AI has also helped me research about my customers, about my investors. So I use a lot of AI tools to you know, research about what kind of challenges does my client face, what kind of solutions can we offer them, what kind of you know, probably investment solution that can be personalized to them. So second is research about the clients. The third is engagement. Now, what I mean by engagement is, now we deal with you know, ultra HNIs and HNIs of India. That is basically the rich people of India. We deal with them for their financial. So what we do in engagement is, now these people are quite busy, you know, and they are chased by multiple relationship managers. You know, one single investor is chased by four, five investment managers. That's like, you know, you are chased by credit card companies, you are chased by multiple other people. So these relationship managers also chase them to, you know, get their investment and get their portfolios. So what I use, you know, AI is to make a very personalized engagement plan for our set of clients. Now, this could be, you know, for example, what do they like? How do we engage with them? Where which all places they go to network, and so on and so forth. So I think AI has you know, helped me in my current job role in two things, as I said earlier, in content development, in research, and in engagement. And personally also, in fact, in Motilal Oswal, I am called as ChatGPT because I'm the only one who uses ChatGPT very extensively, as far as I know. So I use it to develop emails, I use it to develop content, and yeah, so it has been, I mean, very helpful in terms of reducing the time and the efforts required.
I must say, like, our audience gonna be crazy about knowing that you use this AI in that way. This is gonna help, you know, we get so much insightful thoughts about how to use the AI in nowadays for our career. So the nice. Further question is, you have extensive experience in the learning and development. What initially drew you in this career path?
Oh, okay. So then this is kind of nostalgic because, you know, it is a very silly story that I have in mind that I would like to share with your permission. So I was in my graduation days when I heard this story of rather a speech from Steve Jobs about connecting the dots. So I'm sure you would have heard his story as well. It's a speech on connecting the dots where he talks about how everything that happens in your life impacts your future. And it's nothing but, you know, you connect the dots from here to there. So the same thing happened with me. So this is a very silly story. I was, I think I think I was 11 or 12 years old when, you know, I used to live in a chawl in South Mumbai, and there were a handful of kids, and I think 11 to 12 kids and me including. We always, during afternoon time, during summer vacation, in the morning, we used to get up, play cricket, etc. I mean, obviously, at that point of time, we didn't have mobiles and PlayStation. So, I had to restrict ourselves to play cricket and, you know, kabaddi, etc. So, we started playing with, you know, one second, sorry.
Yeah. Please.
Just give me 2 seconds. I'll.
Sure, sir.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, it's totally fine. So shall we
So,
proceed to the next question?
yeah,
Oh,
please ask.
okay.
I think you were asking about what drew me to the training in.
Yeah. Into that career. Yeah.
Yeah, should I continue with that? Because I think the
Yeah, yeah,
recording
yeah,
is.
yeah. Please continue.
Okay. So I was talking about the childhood memory that I had, you know, in when I was 6 to 7 years, you know, earlier. So yeah, I was at that stage where you know, we were 11 to 12 people, and you know, I used to be the teacher always, and I used to be the you know, teaching them. So that aspect, when I was teaching them, you know, it came naturally to me and I enjoyed it. And then after my 12th standard, I, you know, I started going to public speaking academies, and I started, you know, training them on personality development, on English speaking. And that was just because I wanted to do something different in life and pass my time. So that came in handy. And eventually, when I joined my internship in Bombay Dyeing, I got an opportunity to, you know, work with my head HR on training and development. And that's where I realized that there is a profession for that. So, you know, I enjoyed developing content. I actually helped my head HR in the entire delivery of the training, although it was very nascent stage for me. But yes, I loved it, and that's where I realized that this is something which I like, and I'll continue pursuing it. So that's where the connecting the dot things happened. So I started as a teacher, then as a personality development trainer, and then content development. And eventually, when I joined CRP Technologies, I was a process trainer. Then from there, it's not looking backwards. And currently, I'm an AVP at Motilal Oswal.
Amazing. So our next question is, how did your experience at Aditya Birla Financials and CRP Technologies shapes your approach to training and development?
When I was with CRP Technologies, that was my second job after Bombay Dyeing. I was there for 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
And I joined as a process trainer, you know. So CRP Technologies, just to give you a small background, it's a employee verification organization, more process driven. And the kind of audience I had was mostly, you know, graduates and undergrads. And obviously at senior leaders, they were there. So CRP was my shaping, you know, stepping stone rather. It shaped me as a trainer because I did not have a professional experience as a corporate trainer. So my 4 years journey was more of evolving as a trainer, as a process trainer, you know, ensuring that whatever I prepare, whatever I develop, whatever I train is fulfilling to the audience. Then my Aditya Birla journey was as different as, you know, CRP and Motilal Oswal is. So in Aditya Birla, everything was, you know, structured, everything was a science rather. I mean, obviously, because Aditya Birla is a huge firm. So everything was very structured and everything had a science in it. So CRP was more about, you know, art of training, and Aditya Birla was more about science and training. And both the applications are now done in Motilal Oswal.
Great. Wow, I can also see that you are also a mountaineer. That's one of the most difficult yet rewarding hobbies to have. Have you learned anything from mountaineering that you apply to your present role as an associate vice president?
So actually, mountaineering is something which I actually like. I honestly haven't, you know, gone to a stretch wherein I have to climb mountains. But yes, I am an aspiring mountaineer. It's one of my dream to climb, you know, at least Annapurna Base Camp, not Everest Base Camp, but Annapurna Base Camp, because Everest Base Camp, as you know, it's commercialized and lot of people are going there. So I will at least start trekking at Lunavala, because it's been ages that I have trekked any peak. But yes, I'm an aspiring mountaineer, not mountaineerance, because you know, adventure and risk is something that drives me, and you know, mountaineering is all about that. It's about going beyond your comfort zone. It's about, you know, going into uncertain areas, you know, taking risk, and it's also about your physical and mental strength. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so in my current role, you know, I'm not applying like directly, but whatever skills and whatever natural innate abilities I have, like my mental ability of remaining calm during during stressful situation, taking risk in whatever I do, and you know, doing unconventional things. So you know, Motilal Oswal, we have always believed in one thing, that we keep things very simple yet very unconventional. So that alignment of my thoughts plus the training, you know, whatever we deliver, has always been very unconventional and many, many, you know, it's not a very traditional way of trainings. We have very unconventional thought process behind the trainings, because we believe, again, as I said, we believe in simple but innovative trainings. So, yeah.
Yeah. So the next question is, what are the essential skills required by a professional to excel in T&D position?
Okay, I missed that part.
I'm saying, what are the essential skills required by a professional to excel in T&D position?
Okay. So, when you are a trainer, or when you are in a training field, what is important to understand, one is the scientific part, that is adult learning principle, as in, to explore further, adult learning principle is basically, how do you train an adult? Because training a child is very simple, but training an adult is very difficult. The reason being is, adults come with a very preconceived notion about something. You know, they're experienced, they know things better. So when you're training an adult, it becomes very difficult. So you need to be cognizant of the adult learning principles, first aspect. Then you need to understand the science and the models and the frameworks of trainings. For example, when you're developing a content, you need to be aware about ADDIE model. That's a very simple and a most common model of developing a training content. Then coming to, these are scientific part. You can obviously Google and find a lot of things about it, but most important aspect of training is the art of training. That is the most important, and that you will not find in Google. I mean, obviously you'll find courses about train to trainer, etc. But, you know, art of training is something very different. You need to have that natural ability of speaking first thing in front of audience, because public speaking is something which is the most, second most dreadful phobia everyone has.
Yeah.
So public speaking is something which is required to become a training professional. Second is understanding the human behavior during the training, because what happens is, you know, whenever you're training something or training someone, you need to understand the psyche of the audience, whoever is sitting, because you cannot just go on talking. And if the person is not receptive, or if the audience is not receptive to your content or your delivery style, it will not help. So you have to have that empathy. You have to have that psyche of understanding the audience. And the most critical and the most important part is listening skills. So what happens is, as a trainer, you know, the notion is that, you know, you go in on the stage and you start talking, and whatever knowledge and whatever experience you have. However, it's very important to listen, because this is the most important aspect which, you know, a trainer should have. Because, you know, before the training actually takes place, you know, you're talking to the audience. What are the challenges? What are their needs? What are their aspirations? Why do they want the training in the first place? if we do not have that ability to listen to the inner desire of the participants, you won't be able to do justice to the training that is delivered. So listening skills is something which is very important. And the third aspect is coaching ability. So when I say coaching is basically not about training, it's not about teaching something, it's your ability to influence and persuade someone to do something so that they can help, it can help that person. So a coach, like for example, MS Dhoni is a very good coach. And yeah, so that's the, and in fact, if you want to be a trainer, you can actually read the book by MS Dhoni. I mean, for MS Dhoni, he's the best example for becoming a trainer.
100%, no doubt.
Yeah.
So the next question is, how do you stay up to date to training trends and practices in training and development? How do you ensure that you keep training programs relevant in changing industry?
Okay. So I have, as I said, I have a habit of reading, writing, and you know, talking to people. So reading is one of the most important you know, source of getting information. I have subscriptions to ATD platform. I have subscriptions to ISTD platform. And obviously HBR is one of the greatest source of learning, HBR website. So that is something I read a lot. I mean, reading is something which can help you, you know, get the trend of whatever is happening and keep yourself upgrade about the current trend. Second is talking to a lot of people. So I have any trainer would you know, want to connect with different people, different genre of trainers. Because what happens is, if you talk to someone in a very different industry, for example, I'm in financial industry. If I talk to someone from the hospitality industry, if I talk to someone from a different sector, you get a very different perspective. So talking to people, talking to mentors, talking to, you know, like-minded people will give you a very different source of what is happening currently in the training space. And there are magazines available, there are YouTube videos available on internet, and articles and everything is there at your footstep. And I mean, this time it's, yeah, this phase of the year or whatever you call it, decade, is very simple because the information is available at your fingerprints.
Yeah, sure. In your opinion, what critical skills do wealth managers need to develop and succeed in today's competitive market?
Wealth managers skills. So wealth managers, is a very evolved profile. So if someone wants to become a wealth manager, first and the most critical aspect or attribute is, he needs to have proper understanding of the markets of, since you're a finance student, you would also know that, functionally, you have to be very strong.
Yeah.
Even if you're slightly not very strong on functional aspect, you have to be very, very strong in the rapport building and interpersonal skills, because wealth management is all about building trust and building relationships with your clients and with your investors. And because it's the business of money, and when someone gives you money, it's only because of your trust and your ability to make it double or, create wealth for the investors. So winning trust, building rapport, interpersonal skills, and keeping it very simple. You have to be very simple in your communication. No hi-fi jargons, no hi-fi terms and technologies. So you have to be very simple in your approach and be very ethical with your investors. So I think that's where you will become a great wealth manager.
Okay. Last not the least, what advice do you have for aspiring professionals who are about to begin their journey in corporate world?
Wow. So, today's generation, there's a huge gap between our generation. I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm at 36. But 1 second, yeah. But what I've seen in the current lot of someone who is 20, 25, they are very choosy and very picky of things they want to do. They live in the shell of saying no to everything that is not really concerning them. So one of the biggest thing which advice or suggestion or recommendation that I have for the people who are jumping into corporate world now is say yes to everything that comes your way. Reason is as I said, connecting the dots first thing is that you never know that in future whatever you said yes to will become your own forte. You will develop some other skills. For example, as I said, when I started, I was merely a training coordinator. I did not have a sense of how a rich investor behaves. I did not have a sense of how a wealth manager approaches a rich investor. So it was only because of my obviously my boss played a very important role here, because when you have a boss, you don't have a choice to say no. But saying yes to everything that comes your way is very critical for the current lot. You should not restrict yourself to your own KRAs or your own KPIs. You should go beyond your comfort zone. Do something which is beyond your KRA. Don't be limited to your department, your process, your role, because that is where you will take things ahead. Second is what has happened is because there is a influx of jobs, there's influx of the economy is growing, a lot of jobs are available, and today's generation is very egoistic. Sorry for using that word.
No, no,
But
no, no.
the moment someone makes a mistake, and someone like XYZ makes a mistake, and probably some senior scolds him or maybe tells it that don't do this mistake, they take it very personally. And then that demotivates them, and they start searching for a new job or a new avenue or a new source. So don't take things personally and do mistakes, but do not make it a habit to take the mistakes personally. Mistakes are something which will help you grow in life. So my second key recommendation is do mistakes, but don't take them personally. It will help them grow. Third, and the most important aspect which I have seen, this is completely based on my observation and interaction with all the youngsters. Third and the most important is longevity. So this is something which the term that is coined is by Ramdev Ji, Ramdev Agarwal, our promoter. So he keeps talking about longevity. Longevity basically means the amount of time you are in stocks, in whatever, I mean, whatever aspect. So that is basically a tenure. So currently what is happening is, as I said to my previous example, that the reporting manager scolds and you start looking for some other job for money or for some or the other reason. But when you stay in any organization for 2 years, the growth aspect is very limited. But when you go beyond 2 years, maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I don't know what the correct longevity or tenure of organization should be, but I think minimum of 5 years to 6 years is required for any employee to grow in that particular role. Obviously, there are deviation to this, but if you stay in one organization for minimum of 5 to 6 years, you will definitely grow further, because your knowledge compounds, your experience compounds, your network compounds, and the ability to do something, some simple and menial jobs also compounds. So longevity is very important for a corporate employee or a person who's moving to corporate. And last but not the least, find a mentor in your profession. It could be, you know, your friend. It could be someone whom you look up to. It could be someone fictional, like, or non-fictional, like my mentor is MS Dhoni. I mean, I've not directly interacted with him, but I find his qualities and his skills and abilities very, very, it resonates with me, and I kind of take whatever possible from him. And obviously, he is idol for many, but in your organization or in your, you know, probably in your university or institute, there would be someone whom you look up to. So try and find that particular person. Do not look at negative aspects. Look at the positive aspects of that particular person and try and imbibe that inside yourself. Because again, ultimately, it's your journey. It's your
Definitely.
experience that will help.
Definitely.
That's the advice for all the stress.
So we have covered a lot of key insights today. How was the experience of you sharing your knowledge with our audience?
Oh, it was great. I mean, a lot of introspection, a lot of I got a chance to introspect a lot about what questions and what answers should I give. And I think it's a very helpful exercise for speakers, whoever the speakers you call. And obviously I hope I was able to give some guidance and some insights to the youngsters and
Definitely.
to your students.
Thank you so much, Hardik sir, having us on board. It's was truly pleasure to do a podcast with, and I'm sure that our audience has gained amazing insights.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anushka. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, sir. Pooja, can you hear me?